Yesterday I was given 8 packs of 200 grams of fruit that was left over from a Jubilee celebration. Now, the fruit is a refreshing medley of white pineapple, strawberry and blueberry. In effect, they were looking for the red, white and blue for the Jubilee flag. It was beautifully ripe, all cut up already, but it was going to waste. We've eaten our fill of fruit today. We can't have any more. And these packets are left over, but I don't want to waste them. They're not going to freeze particularly well, but they are going to make really good jam. And this is the same for anybody who picks up fruit left over, especially at the end of the market. At the end of a long day on the market, the fruit's just slightly spoiling, slightly, maybe a little overripe. Perfect for jam making. So what I've done is I've put them, all the bits, in the pan, and bubbling away here are these strawberries, pineapple and blueberries. That's quite sweet. I don't want to add too much sugar in. It's very important when you're making jam not to add the sugar until the fruit is fully cooked, because if you add it at the beginning, it actually stops the fruit from going soft. I'm just giving a good stir here. You can hear that bubbling away. And so, I'm going to add in a little bit less sugar than I would do if they were ripe, and let that bubble up and make jam. Jam making is very easy. I've got a big pan here. The most important thing is not to let it burn, because sugar does burn and catch quite easily. I'm just going to weigh out the sugar. It's important to let the sugar dissolve as well before it goes in with the jam. Give it one more stir. That's bubbling away nicely. So I'm just put in there. I'm just stirring in some jam and some sugar. But it's not just any old sugar. I'm using jam sugar. Well, the reason I'm using jam sugar is because neither pineapple, blueberries or strawberries contain an essential ingredient, which is pectin. And you can buy sugar, which has got effectively a gelling agent in there and some citric acid. It's pre-mixed in. I think it's around about 4% of the sugar. And the sugar, the particular sugar I've chosen, is a fair trade sugar, because I believe our purchase can make a difference in people's lives. I'm just turn the heat down slightly and let that simmer away. Oh, it absolutely smells delicious. It smells almost like a sort of, like a tropical cocktail. It's the pineapple with the strawberries really coming through in this scent. I'm going to boil this up now for not too hard, for about 10 or 15 minutes, until it gets to its setting point. I'll just give it another stir there. Well, whilst this jam has been bubbling away, I've just got out my jam jars. Of course, made sure they were all clean and popped them on a tray into the oven where the oven is heating them up, and that will sterilise them. So my oven is on at 160, so about 10 minutes in there will get them really hot, which means anything microbial or bacterial in there will be killed, and I can confidently put my jam in there, put the lid on, and know it will store for easily 12 months or more. And this is the difficult part of jam making for me, because I'm just trying to get this jam to set exactly the way I want it to set, because if I set it too early, it will be all liquidy and gloopy, which isn't the end of the world. It's great to spoon over ice cream or to pour over a lovely rice pudding on a cold winter's day. Catch a little bit of that summer sunshine. If I let it boil just right, then it will set in what I call a French set, which is an easy not too hard, not too soft, just the perfect consistency for what I like my jam to be, so that the jam spreads easily, it's not solid. If I keep on boiling it to death, I will ruin all those lovely gentle flavours and those beautiful aromas and end up with a sort of slightly burnt taste to it. But more importantly, I'll end up with something that is equivalent to a sort of those jelly squares that you need to add water to. It'll go hard. And of course, when you put that on your hot buttered crumpet or your piece of delicious sourdough toast that you're going to put this gorgeous jam on, it just won't have the right consistency to spread. It'll just sort of, you'll have to have a good old fight with your knife with it. Here we go. Now I can just see as I'm boiling it, it's just starting to wrinkle on the top. So what I'm going to do is I've got a... where we are. In a little cup, and I'm going to turn it off while I test it so it doesn't overboil, because there's no point in testing it to find it's been cooked another few 4 or 5 minutes afterwards. I've got a spoon out of the drawer here. I'm just going to take a little bit of this jam and pour it onto a saucer. I'm going to transfer that into the fridge. Here we go, or it's going to cool down. And what I'm looking for is it to wrinkle. Here we go, we'll leave it in there for a few minutes. That little saucer has been in the... oh, so good. It's been in the fridge for about 5 minutes. I've taken it out, and it's now sitting on the side here, and it's... So I'm pushing my finger through there. It's cold, and you can just see, it's called the wrinkle test, that the jam is wrinkling as I push my finger through. This is the bit where I get to taste the jam a little bit more. You can correct it still at this point. If it's a little bit too sweet, you can stir in a little bit of lemon juice or a tablespoon of citric acid, which is vitamin C. And that gives you a little bit more tartness, but that is absolutely perfect. So I've got everything I need here to bottle up this jam. This is the time when, if there are children around or people distracting you, this is the time to ask them all to leave. About 5 minutes ago, I threw everybody out and said, oh, they must all leave the room. Get these jam jars out. And they're very hot still at this point. I'm going to lift them out carefully. There are the jam jars on the side. And then you're going to need, I'm going to pick this jam up and put it over on the side here. You're going to need a few bits and pieces. The essential piece of equipment for me has to be the funnel. And the reason being is I just pop that into the neck of the jam jar, like so. And then the jam, when I ladle it in, which is the other thing you'll need, is a ladle. It doesn't dribble all down the side of the jam jar, it goes straight in. So it's very hot, into a hot jar. Here we go. That's the first jar done, and this is going to be absolutely divine. Here we go. Careful not to overfill. You don't want to end up with that jam all down the side of the jar. A bit more, that's it right up to the top. I'm just popping the lid straight on here. And it's very hot, but use a tea towel just to hold the jar with. I'm just turning that tighter there. You can always tighten up at the end, but by putting the lid on while it's still steaming hot, the heat from the jam will sterilise. There we go. We'll sterilise the lid at the same time. Obviously, the lids need to be clean, but you can't put the lids through the same heat because they've got plastic and rubber on the top. There we go. And that's it. That's all there is to it. We have Jubilee jam. I'm really pleased with those. And the jars look absolutely gorgeous. They're beautiful. They're almost raspberry colour. They've got a deep crimson raspberryness to them, and this jam is absolutely delicious. I'm going to call the children and let them actually get the spoons and finish the last of this jam in the bottom of the pan.